Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Kamala Davy Harris, do solemnly swear.
Kamala Davy Harris, I solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
We all heard it on January 20th when Vice President Kamala Harris was sworn in. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor got it wrong. It's Kamala, not Kamala. The Vice President has said publicly that she's used to people mispronouncing her name, and she's gone to great lengths to help us get it right. But as you're about to hear, getting the names of people of color right doesn't always matter to some people.
Just tell Kamala Harris what to say, and she will say it. That is the whole point of Kamala Harris.
Tucker, can I just say one quick thing? Because this is something that will serve you and your fellow hosts on Fox. Her name is pronounced comma, like the punctuation mark. Look, Kamala. Okay? Seriously, I've heard every sort of bastardization.
So what?
That's how it is, Kamala.
Okay.
Well, but I think it's out of respect for somebody who's going to be on the national ticket. Pronouncing her name right is actually not, it's kind of a
bare minimum. So I'm disrespecting her by mispronouncing her name unintentionally. So it begins. You're not allowed to criticize Kamala Harris or Kamala Harris or whatever.
Kamala Harris.
So disrespectful. That was Richard Goodstein dueling with Fox commentator Tucker Carlson back in August 2020. Richard Goodstein is a former Clinton advisor. So tonight, we're going to talk about this issue and why it's so important. My guests are Ebioke Akinbowale. She's a financial home advisor, and she's originally from Nigeria. Also with us, Rizikat Okideyi. She is a Black culture expert. Lines are open. I want to hear what you have to say about this. It would be interesting if you had a musical or unique name, wherever you're from, because we want to hear that too. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H Fisher, W-H-U-R, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Ebioke and Rizikat, thank you both for joining the conversation. I appreciate it.
Good evening. Thanks for having
me. Okay. Ebioke, how did I do?
You butchered it, but it's okay.
So help me with,
I know you'll make the point. Yes. So it's Ebioke is how you say it correctly. Yes.
Last name?
Ebioke Akinbowale.
Okay, no, give it to me one more time, because that's the whole point. I want to get this right.
Absolutely.
Not only as a journalist, but I want to get it right out of respect. So let me have it one more time, please.
Sure. It's Ebioke.
Ebioke.
Yes, and the last name is Akinbowale.
Akinbowale. Thank you. I appreciate that. And so with that said, is it a big deal for you as a professional woman interacting with all segments of society to get your name correct?
Absolutely. I think a name is how you meet someone. It's your introductory to them. It's also how you come into the world. It's the first gift you receive from your family. So it's imperative that you respect the individuals that you're meeting and engaging with by figuring out how to properly pronounce their name. Absolutely.
So how do you feel when someone like me butchers it without asking whether I butchered it?
I don't take much offense to a person asking me whether or not they butchered it. I do take offense if a person is not willing to receive a point of correction. And so if that's just a careless, I'm moving on, I said it how I said it, whatever, as we've heard time and time again. But being open to receiving the point of correction and being patient enough to figure out how to pronounce it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever shortened it just because people are having difficulty with the linguistic acrobatics that they feel they need to go through?
Absolutely not. That's a professional boundary of mine. I do have a number of nicknames that are reserved for family and friends, but as a professional, it's Evie Jacque, and you've got to figure it out. It's not a luxury for you to pronounce my name right. It is my name, and you should address me as such.
Riza Kat, from your perspective as a Black culture expert, is this a big deal, or are Black people just too sensitive?
Oh no, it's a big deal. I'm Nigerian American as well. Well, I don't want to assume that I know what the other sister's background is, but we both have Nigerian names, and Yoruba is which is the language system that I'm from, is a very musical language. It's tonal. So we're only giving you just the letters. We're not even giving you the accents that go with our names. And that's a whole other level of, you know, if we were to put the accents on, there'd really be an issue. But no, this is not it's not something that we should take lightly. And I totally agree that, you know, when people tend to, my name is Risikat, R-I-S-I-K-A-T. And whenever I would introduce myself coming up, the first thing people would say, regardless of who they were, would be like, oh, like the Aristocats? I'm like, no, that's absolutely not my name. I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, what are you talking about? I didn't know about the film. It took a minute for me to understand the connection when I was younger, because I was like, why do people keep saying that? But this idea that you are going to make my name comfortable for you so that you denigrate my name and you disrespect my culture in the process is just unacceptable. And I don't think it's not just with names that are from the continent or from outside of the U.S. There are lots of really creative ways that Black people who are born here spell their names. I'm a professor as well, and I've often come across names, and I have to say, please tell me how to pronounce your name properly so that we get it right, because your parents didn't put that together for it to be butchered.
And this isn't just about people who are African. This is about any name that may be more difficult to pronounce than Smith, Johnson, or Williams.
Right.
And as we heard in the Tucker Carlson example, and I actually remember that segment, and I'm not a big Fox watcher at all. I try not to allow that in my head too much. I'm just being transparent. But I do remember that, and I just found it to be extremely disrespectful of Tucker Carlson, not only just about the name, but because he was talking about a Black woman, an accomplished Black woman who, as I said in the beginning of this conversation, she has gone to great lengths to make sure that people get it right, and he has gone to great lengths not to care. And
right.
Is this, you know, from your perspective, Riza Kat, is this an issue of racism, of microaggressive racism?
I don't think it's micro. I think it's very blatant. I think it's very macro. Because these same people can pronounce Tchaikovsky. I can pronounce Tchaikovsky. Why do I know how to pronounce Tchaikovsky and you can't pronounce it today? Like, that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the idea that people pick and choose which acrobatics they're willing to learn. Because when we want to sound educated or highfalutin or whatever you want to call it, some of these philosophers and some of these thinkers from the past have very different, different non-Western names or non-US, non-American names. And people, they will bend themselves backwards to correctly pronounce the name so that they can appear to be informed. But when it comes to Black and brown folks, all of a sudden, it's very disposable. It's a very disposable way in which we treat people. And then when in particular, like Kamala Harris says, this is how you pronounce my name, it's like, how dare you correct me on how to pronounce your name? Like, I had never heard that clip. I'd heard about it, but I'd never heard the clip. And it literally makes me want to punch somebody at the idea that you would say, well, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Right.
No, if I called you Topper Carlson, you would be offended.
Yes, that's... Yes,
no,
a little applause
agree,
over there.
I couldn't agree more, if I may chime in.
Please.
I mean, one thing I often say to people I always use the line of, hey, what's the guy from, like, the Terminator? And then everybody's all quick to say, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I'm like, yeah, but have you met right. him? And I'm right. standing right here. So you can, right. you know, do me the human decency of figuring out how to say my name. But I'll even add to that, it's past the name in that. It's also about recognizing that you're in the room. And so mm-hmm. the blatant disrespect to Kamala and her rise, obviously, now to the vice presidency, and a disregard for her accomplishments just by saying whatever or intentionally mispronouncing her name has much more to do about her status as a woman, her status as a woman of color, and what she's achieved politically.
I think you make an excellent point. I want to hear what our listeners have to say about this. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about names, particularly names of people of color and how others mispronounce them and in some cases don't seem to care that they do. What is that about? Let's talk to Mike. Mike calling from Bethesda. Mike, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, I happen to have a pretty simple to pronounce first name, as you just pointed out, but
I was going to call you Mike, but go ahead. Please go right ahead, Mike.
No, but you know, my last name is, and I'm not terribly comfortable sharing it on air, but my last name is a little harder to pronounce, and it happens to be very close to a word that people are familiar with. So my name is so frequently mispronounced, and I think it is a sign of sort of disrespect or a lack of listening. And, you know, when you hear him use the term, you know, whatever, I mean, that is so insulting and offensive to say whatever about someone else's name. And it's just, it's hurtful. I mean, I happen to be, you know, by and large, I'm a more or less a middle-aged, you know, white, Republican-leaning person, but I find it terribly disrespectful, and I think mispronouncing Kamala's name, it's not an accident. It's done on purpose. It's meant to belittle, and it's humiliating and embarrassing.
Well, Mike, I appreciate your transparency. Are you sure you don't want to share it with us?
Well, I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm sure.
It doesn't. What does it rhyme with? Can you help me with that?
Sure. Well, it's mispronounced. I'll say this. I'll tell you what. My name is mispronounced leisure a lot. And leisure is a word in the English language, so I understand. I'll tell people my last name, and then they'll respond and say, oh, leisure. And I'll say, well, no, I just told you how it's pronounced. And so it happens with some regularity. And, you know, a lot of times it's just an honest mistake. But,
right.
you know, you're guests here have mentioned, you know, that's the name that your parents gave you. You know, that's a gift, and it's a sign of respect to understand how names are supposed to be pronounced. And I make mistakes, but I'm very in tune to what, you know, to say, oh, you know, how should your name be pronounced? Or did I get that correctly? And obviously with a name that's often mispronounced, it means a lot to me to get it right. And I think that just disregarding somebody's name and saying it the way that Tucker Carlson said it is just terribly disrespectful.
Well, Mike, thank you so much. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us.
I've really enjoyed listening to you.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are asking, what is in a name? Is the mispronunciation of names of people of color, is it disrespectful if you don't try to get it right? Let's go to Jerry. Jerry, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Jerry. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mr. Fisher? Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
You know, while I was waiting, one of the things people have to realize in this country is that indigenous people to this land, the names that you had back then are different than the surnames that you and I have now. You know, those names were given to us by Europeans versus the people that were actually here. And that's, you know, another context that people don't look at. You know, when you talk about having manners and being respectful, we say yes, sir, no, sir. But that started back with slavery, you respecting your master. And these are things that you don't learn in school. You may not even learn them in college. So my point is, when you grow up, you know, learning to just treat people less than after generations, it just seems normal. It's just like right now you have a lot of people of color that think, hey, I'm from Africa. But you only say that because someone white or European told you you were from Africa. There were indigenous people to this land. If you look at old pictures of, say, someone like James Brown.
Let's finish your point because I've got to go to a break.
Okay. But if you look at someone like James Brown, you can tell that there's some Native American in him. If you look at old pictures of him. So my point is, there were indigenous people here with their languages, with their names. But we've been stripped of that.
Okay.
So,
well, thank you so much, Jerry. I appreciate your point. You make an excellent point. And I'm going to make a point to make a quick break. Just take a quick break. We're going to talk to David calling in from Laurel. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone, hang on. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about pronouncing names correctly and why it is important. My guests are Ibazike Akimbole. She is a financial home advisor. She's originally from Nigeria. Also, Rizikat Okedeyi. She is a Black culture expert. Lines are open. I want to hear what you have to say about this at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You know, one of the things that really was important to me, having gone to an HBCU and having parents who also went to HBCUs. My daughter went to an HBCU. One of the things that you find there are people there from other cultures. And when I went to Morgan State, there are a lot of Nigerian folks there. And as a result, if you wanted to have a conversation with them, friendly, respectful, intellectual, whatever, you needed to get their names right. And when we were trying to put the show together today, I was talking to, you know, the news director and the producer today. There was a professor at Morgan, and she just told everyone to call her Dr. Tosin. But I asked her, and she was a Nigerian sister, and I asked her, well, what is your name? And, you know, her name is Oluwa Tosin Agdegbola. And you know, we had this running thing every time at homecoming, because the other students would only call her Dr. Tosin, but because I love the name and I wanted to respect her, I would shout it from the rooftops every time I would see her, and she would always, you know, consider it just such a sign, you know, of respect. And I think that's a place that we need to be, Rizikat, when, you know, we deal with how we address each other and our differences.
I agree. I think that, you know, as a professor, I introduce myself with my full name, but I am known as Professor O. Like, that's part of the language with my students.
How do you feel about that?
So I do that because the resonance of my name is very important to me. I have different names that I use based on the setting that are different, that are shorter versions of my name. So if you're really close to me, you call me Rissy. If you meet me out in the streets because I'm doing an event, it's Kat. But Professor O is what I use for my students. And I use it that way because, one, I don't like the sound of people mispronouncing my name. I just don't. I'm not here for it. I get it. and I don't always want to deal with you trying. So I just feel like, you know, Professor O is fine, and it doesn't bother me to do it. Like, what does bother me is when my students spell my name wrong. So when they turn their papers in and they haven't even bothered to check the spelling and they have all kinds of weird things going on, that's one of the things that I will correct them on. So spell it right. But I have no problem, because for me it's a form of protection. Everybody doesn't get to call me by my full name. You know, that's just something that I've decided, because I don't want you mispronouncing it. And energetically, I don't want you flubbing up my blessings because you mispronounced my name wrong. So I will do that. And I have found that it helps with, you know, because I think for students who, especially students who have, you know, names that are similar or who have names that are hard to pronounce, there's a camaraderie there. And it's sometimes you just kind of reduce the barrier to connecting by saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. But so for me, it doesn't bother me when my students call me that. I do get referred to by my full last name with my colleagues. But with my students, Professor O is absolutely fine.
Do you have... And I think you did make reference to this a little bit, Ibiake, where you talked about, you know, shortening your names, but only for people with whom you are already familiar.
Absolutely. So I love the way Ibiake sounds. I love my name. My name is very much tied to my identity. And so the shortening of it, I think it's offensive when people ask that. I mean, I certainly had the professional experience of someone shaking my hand, but looking at the person next to me, asking them what they call me. And they, wow, as in she, is still holding your hand, and her name is Ibiake.
So, I'm right here.
Right. Literally. And so, no, I think as for me, again, personally, I just review nicknames as a form of kinship. And connection and bond, and professionally, you don't know me like that. So, and then also, I just think it's really important that we honor how all of who I am and how I show up in the room. I think often too many times in terms for Black professionals, we require them to dim themselves. The code switching, is my hair too big or too natural for this environment? Am I dressing bland enough to fit in here? And so the added layer of, you know, making my name more palatable to you is something that I'm not willing to do.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. David calling from Laurel. Thanks for hanging on, David. What's on your mind?
Thank you very much. First-time caller, and I have to begin by saying go Bears, Morgan State all the way.
I love it. Go ahead.
I grew up in Trinidad and Tobago, so you can get the accent and everything. We grew up, you know, as kids playing, that we would make fun of names. We would try to butcher your name every which way, and that stayed with you, right? When we referred to you 20 years later, we referred to how we made a mess of your name. At the end of the day, man, your name is your label. Whether it's the label that you've been given, the label that you've chosen. You know, my 15-year-old daughter just makes fun of me everywhere I go, from Walmart to the service center. She knows that I'm going to end the conversation, the transaction, by looking for the attendant's name, and I'm going to call the name, and I'm going to even ask if I pronounce it. Here's the last thing I'll say. I get to choose how I shorten or lengthen, or how I accept that label, how you call me, how you refer to me, because that's my name, that's who I am. The final thing I'll say is, when we think about slavery here at Emancipation, it was probably the logical thing to do for an enslaved person to take on the master's name. But also, you have to understand, and we all know this, we became enslaved people, pulled from our land, and we were stripped of everything, including our very own identity. And I do feel that it is very intentional, even now, for people like Tucker Carlson or Carlson or whatever his name is, I do think it's intentional for them to continue that narrative of taking away our identity by mispronouncing and making light of our name. Okay. And that's my two cents.
Thank you so much, David. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Monica calling from Germantown. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I just wanted to say how much I appreciate this conversation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. We're listening.
And I find it, you know, very difficult to try to pronounce people's names, and I feel like I am disrespecting them tremendously when I can't pronounce their name. So I initiate a conversation of, I'm apologizing from the beginning for not being able to pronounce your name, and please help me find a way to pronounce your name properly.
Good idea, Ibiyake.
That's Ibiyake. That's an appreciated approach. I will say, I think I'm more than willing to be patient with a person because it's new to you. I'm probably the first person that you've met with this name. That's absolutely fine. I just appreciate a person's willingness to try, and I will be patient with you as you figure it out. But it's the, I'm not willing to try. It's the disrespectful antics of, again, saying whatever, or, you know, not making an attempt to get it right. But it's absolutely appreciated to say, hey, I might struggle with names. Names might not be a strong suit of mine, but I'm committed to working on it.
Mm.
It's a sign of respect.
Absolutely, and I have run into several instances where people have gotten upset with me because I haven't been able to pronounce their name, and again, I apologize profusely, and I ask them, please help me find a way to help me pronounce your name correctly, because I don't want to be disrespectful, and I just apologize to anyone that I've ever butchered their name before.
Well, Monica, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. So here's my question. I want to go back to the swearing in of Vice President Kamala Harris. We have seen, after the confirmation of Associate Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, that people butchered her name as well. So, you know, Rizzi Ketch, do you think that, how do you feel about the fact that she got her name, the vice president's name, wrong on January 20th?
I was so disappointed. I really was, because Justice Sotomayor has everybody pronounce. I mean, we go through great efforts to make sure we're pronouncing it correctly. And I couldn't understand it either. I was really shocked. I was like, were you just nervous? What happened? Like, why did that even happen? And what I really would have liked is when Kamala Harris said her name, that she took a minute to say, I apologize. I would have liked for her to have redone that part, because it just didn't make any sense. And the irony of her mispronouncing the vice president's name, I don't think it was lost on it. I don't, for a lot of us, it wasn't lost. I felt like a collective cringe around the world as everybody watched and heard that one part, because it was so troubling. And you know, I know she hasn't really spoken to it, but it was like, why? Like, you had all the time. This was not a hard assignment. Like, what is the issue? It was hard to hear.
I cringed when I heard it, because I was waiting for it to be done correctly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I too was disappointed, because when Justice Sotomayor was, you know, installed, I also heard, you know, the same thing. And she, of course, is a person of color, and these kinds of things are so important. But here's something I want to pose to both of you. We know that people in the African-American community have very creative musical names, and they are not necessarily considered ethnic names, you know, with meanings that you know, we just make stuff up, you know. Is it the same, you know, when we, you know, if we often, you know, in private circles, we may joke about Bomquishas or Janishas or all of those kinds of things, and those of us in those African American circles may still have difficulty pronouncing names because they may be spelled differently, even though they are pronounced commonly. Mm-hmm. So getting it wrong is, do we still approach it in the same way that we would approach people of color who have names that may be considered common, even though they are, these are names of, you know, like African immigrants or Caribbean immigrants? Is it the same?
I think so. I will say this. I've never understood the idea that a Bumquisha or a Tanisha or however, you know, whatever myriad of names that we call creative don't have meaning. They all have meaning. Like, regardless of you may not like why your mama named you that, but, you know, your mother and your father were thinking of something, or they made a decision, or they were inspired, and they named you what they named you. So to me, just because my name comes from a language system, you know, my name is quite common. My first and my middle name are quite common in Nigeria. But that doesn't make it, I don't feel like my name has more relevance than someone whose name might be pronounced Todd, but has a Q in it, you know? I just don't, because I think the energy of naming your child, there's power to that. You know, whether you agree with what it comes out to be, there's still, you know, someone sat down and put that name together. So it still has meaning to me. So I treat it all the same. It all deserves to be respected. I don't discount or dismiss someone's name just because they have accents in places or capital letters in some places that maybe normally it wouldn't.
Ibijake.
Agreed. I don't think there's a pass for disrespecting anyone's name ever. And then we also have to take into consideration the historical context on how Black people got their names, or one, had their names stripped in this country, and then gave themselves new ones. Even just looking at the Black Power movement of the 1960s and our names very much being tied to individuality. And so I think all names have stories, they have meanings, again, they're gifts, and it's at a time in a country in which you have, you know, you've taken a lot from people of color. You've taken or denied them the ability to vote, denied them the ability to create wealth, but you cannot take a name. And so they all should be respected. Absolutely.
And even for simple names, like Harold... You could laugh. It's okay. But depending on where I am and who I'm around, it could be Harold with a hard D, or Hurl, H-E-R-L.
Sure can.
You know, but I think I do see your point, because there have been times, and this is not here in this place of business, because this is, you know, this is an HBCU, this is a Black-owned business, but there have been times when I was in mainstream television and the like, when I've introduced myself as, you know, Harold, and people were like, can I call you Harry?
Oh, God.
No.
That's not what I said.
No, it's not. And that, you know, to me... is, you know, Harold, some people may argue, well, that's, you know, there may be more white guys named Harold than Black guys, but Harry is again taking my identity and creating something that is not a part of me. And, you know, I don't get upset about it. I just say, no, you can't. Now, of course, like, you know, Ibijake said, there are some people who get to call me H, or they get to call me Fish, or they get to call me, you know, Tommy, because my middle name is Thomas. And depending on how long you've known me, that's all that, that you're going to,
right.
You know, all that you're going to call me. But I think you're right. This is, you know, part of identity. But the other thing, and this is that Tucker Carlson thing that really bothers me, and it's not just about Vice President Kamala Harris, but it was also about President Barack Obama. And he even said, when he was running the first time, that, you know, here's this skinny guy with a funny name, from your perspective, you know, Rizzi Cat, what is that about? The skinny guy with the funny name? Is he just trying to make white people comfortable?
I mean, this is what it's all about when people do self, you know, these types of disparaging remarks. I mean, I've always hated the narrative. And I hated when he said that. I also hated when he referred to himself as a mutt because I was like, stop it. Don't do that.
Gosh,
when
I forgot about that.
I will never forget how upset I was when I heard him say that. You know, and this is the problem of the conditioning of being black in this country specifically, is that how dare you claim your names? How dare you require people to pronounce them and don't shrink yourself? Somebody saying, may I call you Harry, when they haven't been invited to call you Harry, is part of that. Like, you know, I think at some point people were referring to Barack Obama as Barry. I was like, how did you get Barry out of Barack? Like, where does it even come from? You know, but I took pleasure because my family is Muslim. When they said his full name and his middle name is Hussein, that gave me life, you know, and because what this needs to be about is the reason why Tucker Carlson can say what he's saying is because it's basically a dog whistle to suggest that Kamala Harris isn't a true American because she's not white. And she's got this so-called funny name. And so in a lot of ways, when we push back and we force people to say our names properly, because the thing is, what does happen is people see my name and they assume I can't speak English. So I've had people say, oh, you speak English so well. I'm like, what are you talking about? What? and be dead serious. They'll be so completely shocked, like, oh my God, your English is so good. Like, are you, you know, I'm not going to cuss on the radio, but you've got to be kidding me. And so there is this really weird default where people forget that the only real Americans here have been, you know, reduced to these small spaces, that everybody's an immigrant. Like, you may change your name over time, but we are all coming from somewhere else. And so you're just trying to minimize my Americanness because you are looking at my name and assuming, okay, she's a foreigner. But this is also part of the thing. So these disparaging remarks about yourself, calling your name funny, it's not a funny name at all. It's absolutely not a funny. There's nothing funny about Barack Hussein Obama. It's a very strong name, actually.
Yeah.
But but coming with a black man having that kind of name in this climate, in this country, it's like red flags for the people who are scared about, you know, black folks coming to take over, whatever else that they think. It's this constant push and pull. And so you get this conditioning that is always making certain people feel like when black people specifically have names that don't roll off their tongue easily, that don't sound like theirs, it's okay to make light of it. And that's why it's important that people don't back down. Like, I would tell my brothers, don't, if your name is Hassan, don't call yourself Nick. Like, don't do that. You know, make them call you by your name.
And I think when you talk about, even in this particular case, about white privilege, for example, in my television career, I've had a Schroeder who sat next to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like Schrader.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Desmarais who sat next to me, but it looked like Desmarius.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and then I had a Dimmler sitting next to me. It looked like Dimmler. Mm-hmm. But I think it's, you know, it at some point it. There is no humor in that.
Right.
And you really need, no matter what the color of the person happens to be, that you give them the same respect. And I still, when even in introducing that Tucker Carlson soundbite, Richard Goodstein was the person who was correcting him. I'm making an assumption that it was Goodstein. I don't know if it's Goodstein, but when you're talking to members of the community who have the Steen or Stein, it, you know, one may be Steen and one may be Stein, and you have to ask, and some of them say Steen or Stein, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And if they say it doesn't matter, then I don't press the issue. But for some, it is. It makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really makes a difference. And so now, you know, everybody seems to have the, you know, the Kamala down, the Kamala Harris is just there's a vice president, there's a madam vice president put in front. But do you think that moving forward beyond the conversation that we're having right now, that this is still something that people really do need to focus on, to address, to be respectful? Your thoughts, Ibi Jackie?
I'm thinking about the 2016 study about whitened resumes, which they took the black names and changed them to non-ethnically diverse names. And 25% of the applicants received a callback, as opposed to the resumes in which they hadn't changed the black names. Only 10% of the applicants received the callback. And the same statistics were true for the Asian participants in the study. 21% of the Asian names that they changed to, again, non-ethnically identifiable names, received a callback for employment, as opposed to the 11.5% that they left with the Asian names. And so this is an issue that it doesn't just end in terms of your person-to-person dynamic of greeting a person or meeting a person and calling them by their name or their preferred name or pronoun or what have you. It really does surpass that, because it's really entrenched deep into the inequalities that exist within our country and our systems today. We think about the recent events that happened at the Capitol because of this Biden-Harris administration. She's very much a part of the uproar that surrounded, those events. And so I think it's imperative that we give people the respect and honor, identifying them by the names that they choose to be called. But it's also, and also not apologizing for having the names, not apologizing for having the names or having the preference, because in apologizing for that, we create a standard that these norms of, hey, it's okay for me not to get the job, or I need to put B on my resume name instead of putting Brishon with the hyphenates or however my name is spelled, in order to be able to qualify for an opportunity when I am the best candidate.
Right.
Have you been in the room when this issue has come up with colleagues who are white, when you've looked at the resumes, or when there was a question even before you brought the person in to have these discussions during any part of your career? Have you had those discussions?
I think Sarissa had comments earlier. I've definitely seen there's an assumption about whether or not a person can speak English well or not, whether or not a person has the context, or even just the name, the degree of education that an individual has, because it's a name like Daquan or Conquisha or some of the other names that we've mentioned that are just creative and have a degree of musicality, as we've mentioned. And so there is an assumed knowledge that goes with the name. There's an assumed interpretation of language that goes with the name. And those are, that's a weird instance. I don't make that assumption about some of the other names that I hear across the aisle. And so why do we have this standard of looking at that for black and brown names?
Yeah.
Especially, and that's large. That goes for blacks, Hispanics, Asians. Our Latino brothers and sisters, of course, are often, or just making the assumption that you can. I don't know how many times I see a Hispanic applicant or have seen a Hispanic applicant, and we just assume that they can speak Spanish because of their name. That's an unfair assumption. Was that a qualifier on the application? We shouldn't be making these, blatant assumptions about who people are, what their knowledge and experience is, outside of what we check the box on. Not my name.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to take this call real quick. And I'm going to work on this, too. Lilia, calling from Illinois. See? Lilia. L-E-A-L-I-A. See? Help me with that. My apologies. What's your comment?
It's Lilia. So, Lilia. I grew up, I was
tell people what my name is, and you know, they would say it. But then I think when I got to, I think when I was about 20 or 21 or 22, somewhere around there, they couldn't pronounce it, so I just said, you can just call me Lee, because I just got tired of people mispronouncing my name. And so one time, one of my friends heard somebody call me. She said, what are they, they're calling you Lee? Why are you allowing them to call you that? And I said, well, I was just tired of people calling me, you know, mispronouncing my name. And so she said, she was just shocked. So then I had to think about it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to start, you know, just letting people know this is how you pronounce it. It's Lil Ya, two syllables. That's it. That's all it is. And so then people say, oh, okay, I got it. It's easy. And then sometimes I had to say Amelia Lilia, and then that's my daughter's name. And so they said, oh, it's easy. I can pronounce it now. And so when I would go to conferences, I would write my name, and then I would spell it phonetically, how do you pronounce it. And so people would be able to pronounce my name. So that's what I have to say. So,
well, thank you so much, Lilia. I appreciate it. And I think that's a good place to end this conversation. I will say, I have two friends, Alicia and Alicia.
Mm.
They spell their names the same way. We got to get it right. We got to get it right. Ibiyake Akinbowale and Rizikat Okideyi. I'm still working on it. Out of respect, I'm going to keep trying to get it right. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it.
You're absolutely welcome.
Thank you for having us.
That's the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Thursday, February 4th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.